In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The day of judgment is a joyful day. The sounding trumpet will delight your ears like no other music ever has. The songs of the angels will enliven your dejected spirit. The sight of Christ will fill you with such joyful wonder that your hope is finally realized. The King has returned, not to rule some flailing earthly kingdom, but the King has returned to judge the living and the dead. The promise given to Abraham, fulfilled in his son, Jesus of Nazareth, is now manifest to every nation. He comes to judge. He comes to separate. He comes to place you on his right and to fulfill the baptismal promise once made. The kingdom has been prepared for you, and Christ has ascended to prepare your place in eternity, so that he may take you to be where he now is. It is all yours now, but not by sight. It is yours through faith. You are holy, righteous, pure, and undefiled through faith in Christ. But it is hidden from your sight. You still wage against a relentless world. The devil still assaults. Your own flesh still exhausts you. We are not yet what we will become. We still fight and persevere and strive toward what is good, even as we fight and persevere against that which is evil. We abstain from those things the commandments of God reject and condemn, and we pursue the good things that God has given. But like any deployed warrior, we want to be home. We want to be in the kingdom prepared for us from before the creation of the world, a kingdom that is ours through faith, where the streets are paved with gold and the gates crafted of the most precious pearls. Where sadness, sorrow, and sighing and frustrations are simply a thing of the past, where God is our King and our brother, where perfect justice and abounding love do not conflict. Ah, to see the clouds, to hear the voice that once cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" now crying out to the dead, "I say to you, arise," and then to see them get up. Yes, you will witness the dead rising from the earth, for there is one resurrection that consists of both the believer and the unbeliever, the righteous and the wicked. And you will see the righteous shining more beautiful than the stars of the sky, more numerous than the sand on the seashore. You will see them waking up from their graves at the command and voice of Christ. And yet you will not be afraid. All fear is gone, all guilt is gone, all frustration and uncertainty is gone. For the moment that Christ returns is the moment that you are purified. The moment that he speaks is the moment that you are righteous and it shows itself in your flesh. The moment that Christ returns is the moment your fallen flesh is gone forever. Never again to make you feel guilty or fill you with regrets. Never again to harass you. Never again to pull you away from the Word of God. Pure as Christ is pure. Holy as Christ is holy. Standing on our Lord's right, even as he sits on the right hand of the Father. In a moment, we will be changed. In the twinkling of an eye. So it is not the judgment of Christ that makes us holy. It is the judgment of Christ that reveals that holiness to the entire world. The cross of Christ makes us holy. The death of Christ is our salvation. And the judgment publicly proclaims it to all. Who of us is so hard of heart that we do not long for that day? Who of us is so enamored with earthly wealth that we do not think about the eternal riches? Who of us wants Christ to delay for a year, a decade, or another century so we can fulfill our earthly hopes and dreams in a cursed world with a fallen flesh? Which deployed warrior wants to stay in battle when the war is already won? The cross of Christ is our victory, and the judgment proclaims it to all. Pilate did us a great service by putting that sign above Jesus' head. You see it on every crucifix, I-N-R-I, Latin words, for Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Here is the great power and glory and majesty and wisdom of your King. For the great wisdom and power of God is not manifest in his glory, but it is manifest in his cross. His power is not concealed by his flesh, but his flesh reveals it as that flesh bleeds and suffers and dies in the darkened Friday afternoon. That is the power of your King, to be declared guilty in your place, to suffer your pain and punishment, for the government is upon his shoulder, Isaiah writes. For he is the one who bears your sin, your curse, and your death, so that you might be right with God. Pilate did us a great service by identifying this crucified man as our King, who rules over heaven and earth forever and established a glorious kingdom at Calvary. No sin is left, no guilt is left. Power and majesty and glory through a cross. The might of the eternal God is not what saves us. The power and strength and eternity and righteousness of God does not bring salvation. But it is the might of an incarnate God that is our salvation. In perfect obedience, a perfect death, that is the salvation of God. That is the righteousness of God, which leads to the salvation of all who believe. So why does Christ then mention works as he's separating sheep from goats? Because works always flow from faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if someone has good works, therefore they must be a Christian. So what makes a work good is not something that is beneficial to society. It's not something that's done from a pure and right motive. It's simply that which flows from faith. So a believer and unbeliever can have the same exact work and the same exact motivation, and yet one is a good work in God's sight, while the other is sinful and condemning, because it does not come from faith. So don't confuse faith and works, law and gospel. Do not neglect the good works that God has prepared for you, for they are yours, so that you might be revealed to the world as one who belongs to Christ. But also do not skip over the fact that the kingdom was yours before the foundation of the world. Before Adam sinned, before one single bird took flight, before light itself shone, heaven was already yours. So there was nothing that you could do to make it yours. Salvation and the kingdom rest completely outside of you in the heart of God, a heart that was revealed on Calvary. Because God chose you, Christ had to die for you. Because God chose you, the Spirit had to create faith in your heart. For God has bound himself to these means of grace so that you might know his heart and his good pleasure toward you. It is the forgiveness of sins won by the cross of Christ that is the defining characteristic of this kingdom. He demands nothing of his servants, but he only gives. He does not build his kingdom on the backs of his subjects, but he builds it on his own lacerated back and by his own laborious efforts. So he makes his enemies citizens. And we are not just ordinary citizens. He makes us first-class citizens. But not even that is enough for him. He makes us co-heirs with the Son himself. So the glory of the Son is our glory. His inheritance is fully distributed to you. Thus we rightly pray, thy kingdom come. And it does. It comes to us in word and sacraments and is received by faith. You hear no resounding trumpet. You see no angels. You witness no Christ ruling. Faith does. Faith sees the unseen King of heaven and earth ruling all things for your eternal good. Faith hears his voice declaring you not guilty once more, forgiven by his blood and in his work. His kingdom is not distant, way off in the future, or far away. His kingdom is not locked away in heaven or in his divine heart. His kingdom is given to you, even as you have prayed. It comes in the forgiveness of sins. So Pilate's notice is extremely helpful in us recognizing who the king is and how he reigns. We may have voted for an earthly government, but we unequivocally submit and bend our knee before an eternal King who orders all things so that we might receive his forgiveness once more. So we do not meet that last day by looking inside our own hearts to see whether our motives are pure. They're not. We still battle against a fallen flesh that tries to lead us away. But we must fight against it so it does not have mastery over us. Neither do we look for the kingdom of God in the heart of God, but we look for that kingdom where God has revealed it, in his crucified Son, preached to us in his word. Look at the cross. Read that inscription once more. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. He shouldered your sins. Labored, bled, in the darkness of Good Friday, was forsaken and abandoned, declared guilty, so that you might be justified and declared not guilty before God. So yes, we did well when we purchased and installed a very large crucifix, because we want Christ crucified held before our eyes week in and week out. It is our only hope of salvation. He is our King. A King who fights and rules and conquers in humility, in suffering, in blood, and in death. And so because of that cross, that great and dreadful day of judgment is a great day of joy and gladness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.